Well, lovely to be able to wish you a happy Christmas without coughing. And it's good to be together on this lovely day. Sorry, I seem to have lost my place. If you want to turn to a scripture, please do, and look at 1 John and chapter 1. That's the first letter of John, in right in the back of the Bible almost. Just got Jude and then Revelation. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to give a short word today. There's usually a carol that... have I got to do something, or are you going to turn it down? I think you can turn down the two things. Thank you. That's good. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. For me, that's the carol for this year, because probably because I had to look at it quite a bit earlier on, and that's better. Good. Thank you. Sorry. Isaac Watts' wonderful words from a long time ago, 300 years ago, but put with Handel's music, and you know, it's been everywhere this year for me anyway. Joy to the world. And when I mentioned it some time ago, just a week or two ago, somebody said, well, it's that you can't have much joy at the moment. And I thought about that. Yes, no, you're quite right. Do we lose joy in the busyness even of this season and all that we have to do, rushing about, trying to remember everything and remembering that you've forgotten things and so on? It can be quite stressful. I think the Christian counselling people had issued a bulletin thing about how stressful Christmas can be for people, even if they want to keep Christmas. Well, it's still true. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. And secondly, how can we have joy when the world is like it is, in such a wrecked position? Have we had a year when we had to come to Christmas with such a lot of problem in the world, and it would be difficult to remember something as strenuous as we have? The world is in turmoil, and it's broken, as the song says. We may also have family issues, health issues, and we find it difficult to see the joy that there is in Jesus. And the old carol says that man at war with man, that's happening now. Hears not the love song which the angels bring. Hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. But yet there is joy in the beauty of this simple and lovely story of the couple going to Bethlehem and Jesus being born in the night, as it were, and laid in the manger with the hay and the animals and the shepherds coming and so on. That is an incredibly wonderful story. And we must never lose the joy of that. The sense that God has come to visit us in our need and did so in the form and shape and person of a tiny baby, vulnerable and human in every sense of the word. But who is this who lies in the manger? He is the one who built the starry skies, we sing. And we had a carol that we haven't had for years today, which is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. We haven't sung that for years, and we haven't sung it for years because some crazy comedian ruined it, really, about 50 years ago. I remember that. But you see, comfort and joy, the gospel and the Christian message is not just joy, you know, whatever's happening, be joyful. No, it's comfort and joy. We find we can have comfort in the fact that Jesus comes, that he comes to share our humanity and to bring for us a new life and so on. I want to bring three things out of 1 John, just little sentences. Don't often look at the scripture in this kind of way, but it's convenient for today to Help us to understand why we can have joy as we look at the manger and the baby. And that's because he brings life, and he brings liberty, and he brings us love. So first of all, life. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us the history of the birth of Jesus, don't they? And we have the stories and so on. We've been looking at that all the way through Advent, following that story. We've got the history of it. But the Apostle John gives us the mystery of what's happening. So when we read in the first chapter of John's Gospel, that in the beginning is the Word is made flesh, and so on. We're seeing beyond the fact that just people are stumbling into a stable to have a baby. This is something incredible. We find the mystery of God becoming a man, a person. And John in his letters tells us about that. 60 probably years after the time of Jesus, he writes to people who may have some doubts about various things. So let's look. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It says this. Well, I'll start from verse 1. What was from the beginning, which we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have observed and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, that life was revealed. And we have seen it, and testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. So you see, in the birth of Jesus Christ, in the manger, the baby lying in the manger, we have revealed to us life. But it isn't just life, it is the life. The life has been revealed to us. And it was that eternal life which was with the Father. You know, the Gospel of John begins, in the beginning was the Word. And we think, oh, that's Genesis, you know, in the beginning. No, it isn't. It's beyond Genesis, isn't it? Genesis is the beginning of this world. But it's not the beginning of God. It's not the beginning of Jesus. In the beginning is the beginning of the beginning. When does that blow your head, won't it, really, if we think about that? And yet this life that always was has come into the world to reveal himself, to reveal the Lord, and to reveal also this life. Think of this quotation. There was never a time when the Word, that is Jesus, did not exist. There was a time, it was that when the time had fully come, when he was revealed to people through the incarnation. So the baby Jesus shows us life. Life because he was the original living one. And he called into being everything. There's no life without God, whatever it is, human or rest of creation. He breathed into man and he became a living soul. You're a living soul today. You don't have to decide to be that or even argue about it. It's a fact. You have a living soul, an ever-living soul that will go into eternity because this life has been revealed to us. The life of Christ, the life of God, the life that gives life and breath to everything. It's a life because we are functionally dead in our sins and separated from the most wonderful God that there is. You know, all the gospel texts talk about life, don't they? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. When I was a young man, my preaching would have been about life. You know, you don't know life unless you know Jesus, and that sort of thing. Well, that's kind of changed over the years because I realise there's a lot more to it than that, really. We can have life even if we're struggling and have a problem because God gives us life, especially when we believe. Truly, I tell you, anyone who hears Jesus' words and believes him, has sent me, has eternal life. and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. Christina Rossetti has written a number of hymns, one of which has these lines: Lord, thou art life, though I be dead, and love's fire thou art, though however cold I be. My faith burns low, my hope burns low, my heart's desire cries out in me, by the deep thunder of its want and woe, cries out to thee. It's lovely how poetry says things we can't say in any other way. You see, each of us has this burning in our hearts. We may be very good at getting rid of it, but it's crying out to know God, because it's where we belong. The life appeared. Secondly, liberty. Chapter 3, verse 5. You know that he was revealed, that's Jesus. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed so that he might take away sins. So we find ourselves in bondage, and we need this liberty to be free from sin. And then further on in verse 8, the one who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. So we're in bondage to these two things, sin and the temptations and so on of the enemy of souls. Well, the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, you've got to call this boy Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. So the Christmas story is absolutely all about whether we can be forgiven or not, and how we can stand before a holy God and know that he is one who can deal with our sins and take them away. John the Baptist saw Jesus starting his ministry. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus later on, in a house full of people, he says, the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sin. Aren't you glad of that? If you feel the sense of need that you have before God, you'll be hilariously glad that Jesus came to take away sins. It isn't in the manger, the lovely story of the manger, which don't lose that wonder, but it is in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not the teaching, but the cross where Jesus takes away sins, isn't it? Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, precious fountain. You see, when Jesus takes away our sins, he does that by taking them upon himself, so that we see our wretchedness and sin and lostness laid on him. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the baby is screaming that message to you today. He is born to take your sin and mine. And Jesus helps us in our battle with the evil one, the enemy of souls. Mr. Wesby said, Jesus was God and became a servant, but Satan was a servant who then decided to become God. So we have this enemy. Wonderfully, Scripture says Jesus shared our flesh and blood so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. We know that this is true through the cross work and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is finished means there is that victory that is available. Jesus brings us freedom and liberty. Now, I found this little statement about God rest you merry gentlemen. When it was written, the word rest did not mean sleep or being still, but it meant to keep. And the word merry actually meant mighty. Well, that's different, isn't it? So today's language would make it read like this: God keep you mighty, gentlemen. Well, that's a different story, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? No wonder there's comfort and joy, because we can see that God's will and purpose for us is that we might be kept and helped and made new in him. In our war against Satan, we are strengthened when we remember the birth of Christ and why he came to earth. There's joy in knowing promised deliverance from the power of the enemy. Finally, of course, Jesus lying in the manger is that revelation of God's love. In chapter 4 and verse 9, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The coming of Jesus is both a revelation and a demonstration of the love of God. Christmas, if it's about anything, is about the love of God. And expressed in that, in this beautiful story and idea of this frail, fragile baby. When we were at Catterwade all those years ago, as speaking about, we just had Elizabeth, I said, you know, God did something we wouldn't do. We wouldn't have laid our baby in on the floor, you know, in the straw, in a manger. You wouldn't have done that, would you? She was about 3 months old then. That's what God did. And who it was, you know, the King of the universe, the one who called everything into being, is now, like the hymn says, our God contracted to a span. Remarkably made man. Just a little thing like this. There's only one reason why God would do that, and it is his love for you. God's love is extraordinary, and it is expressed more in Christmas, perhaps. We begin to understand the ultimate revelation of God's love, a gift of love. Jesus is the gift of love. It's demonstrated in this, that not that we loved God, verse 10, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So the coming of Christ, therefore, is a concrete historical revelation of God's love. For the agape love of God is self-sacrifice, the seeking of another's position good, another's positive good, sorry, at one's own expense, and the greater self-giving than God's gift of his Son there has never been. That's a quotation. Christina Rossetti also wrote another poem that became a hymn. Love came down at Christmas. It's kind of a little bit weird in the sense that you love all lovely, love divine, you know, it's kind of ethereal, poetry and so on. But it's actually totally correct. Who came down? Love came down at Christmas. And I was privileged to go through a little book designed for Advent, to read a reading through Advent. And I read it before Advent because I wanted to understand what it was about. It was called Love Came Down at Christmas and was compiled by Sinclair Ferguson. And this is what he had to say. Love came down at Christmas. Love always comes down. Love always stoops. And gives and pays. This agape love of Jesus. We need to know that. Nothing is more important for us as Christians to come to a better understanding of the wonderful love of God to us in Christ. We need it in our homes. We need it amongst our fellowship and our families. We need it amongst the nations of the world. I want to know that love more. I want to get to know it, and I volunteered to do a series in 1 Corinthians 13, which will tell us about the love of God. I want you to pray that that will be really effective, and it will help us to come into a new year understanding Him who so loved us. How can you refuse such love? You need to respond. You need to bow now and just say, thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for loving me from eternity. Thank you for doing what needed to be done to bring me into your kingdom and family. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in Him and He in us. He gives us His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we come to know and believe the love that God has for us.